God body is simple. It means you see God when you look in the mirror, and that the body of man is God, and that there's no mystery God in the sky. You are God.
Hey, welcome to another episode of The Anabolic Mind, where we try to give you the science behind why wellness is important to accomplish everything you're trying to accomplish, no matter what walk of life you're in. And with that being said, I got a very special guest, my man. Pleasure to have you on, Hawk Newsom. This is my guy, man. We go way back. Well, not that way back. What, 6 years? 5 years?
Six years. Yeah, it's been
six years. Yeah. It's been a minute. Yeah, we've been rocking 1 minute. And Hawk Newsom is the man, Black Lives Matter, NYC. And we're going to talk about what he does, why health and wealth and fitness is important, and we're gonna get into it, man. So, Hawk, you know, brief introduction: who you are, what you did, your accomplishments, and why wellness is important to you.
All right, cool. Hawk Newsom, I'm the founder of Black Lives Matter Greater New York. We are one of the most notorious. We are one of the most recognizable Black Lives Matter organizations out there, because we are unapologetically Black. We are quite revolutionary, and we don't hold any punches. We say what needs to be said. It doesn't matter whose feathers we ruffle. We just believe in fighting for the people in the way that they would fight if they had our platforms. Been doing this for like 6 years. I think me and you, Mark, we met when I was first like conceiving Black Lives Matter New York in my mind. I was an activist, but I was trying to figure out which way I was going to go. So that was a very critical time when we met. As far as health and wellness goes for me, like I always played ball growing up. I always played sports. That was like, you know, we were playing football in the middle of the street in New York, football, basketball. You know, I played basketball throughout high school, played a little college ball. And, it was always my release. I always say I would still be in the Bronx if it wasn't for basketball, being athletics. And now, as we get into the Black Lives Matter movement, we start thinking about, you know, okay, tools of oppression, like what things are actually oppressing Black people. We cannot ignore health and wellness, because the number one killer of Black people is, you know, hypertension, high blood pressure, diabetes. Those are the top killers. And these are all things that are avoidable. So if you're going to be revolutionary in principle, you have to be revolutionary in practice. The Black Panthers did a good job of that. They set up healthcare centers in the communities, right? They taught our people how to eat and tried to give them, better options for food, and we embody that in our work. And I'm a yogi, you know. I practice yoga. I meditate a lot, but it wasn't until really last year that I was like, okay, I gotta get myself back in shape. You know what I'm saying? And because we were getting a lot of death threats, you know, Donald Trump called us treasonous and a bunch of things. And I was like, you know, if people come in and say, and I got to know how to handle myself, you know?
Right.
So that was another way that health and wellness came into it. I had to learn self-defense tactics, things like that.
Right. And what type of experience was that for you, learning the weapons and self-defense? That was empowering to you? How did it make you feel as someone who was pretty much an athlete all their life, but then learned some martial arts skills and some technical skills? What was the difference?
It was funny because, you know, I played basketball, right?
Right.
So a lot of people who study, you know, taekwondo, jiu-jitsu, MMA, they're like, well, what are you learning? And I'm like, I'm learning how to get people up off of me.
Right.
So I can't give you, you know, the ins and outs, but I know how to do things to get myself out of situations. I know how to defend myself. We learned how to protect yourself when people are attacking with guns. Then we went out to Texas, and Texas really kicked my behind. We had a maniac trader by the name of Tactical Call, who was
I follow him on IG. Yeah.
I gotta connect y'all. And I was doing these drills, and I looked at the footage from my cell phones, and I was like, Jesus Christ, how did I let myself go like this? You know what I mean? Like, even after I stopped playing ball, I could still dunk a basketball. I would never let myself get too far gone. You know what I mean? But I really just got caught up in the work and stopped working out. So getting out there and seeing how slow I was led me to do more to build my body. And, you know, it hasn't, I'm not gonna lie, it ain't been consistent. You know what I mean?
Right.
I just,
right. But you're conscious of it.
Yeah, I'm conscious of it. And when you talk about confidence, I feel like I know how to handle myself now. Before, in the past, you know, I would rely on my size. I'm 6'5", usually around 300 pounds. So I could grab people up and toss them. But just learning certain skills made me feel a lot better, right, about how I would react if people came for me. So that was good. Yeah, and the weapons training is just...
Right.
We got to know how to handle ourselves, how to handle weapons. It's our job as... Yeah.
Especially living in America, where there's, like 10 guns for each person or something like that, something crazy. Yeah. It's something to consider. You may be anti-gun, but it would behoove you to learn how to use a weapon in case you had to in certain situations, whether you're pro-gun or anti-gun. But I want to get back to... you were talking about how the exercise, the training, the martial arts empowered you and inspired you. And it's interesting because with my clients, you know, instead of just doing cardio just to burn calories, like, you know, walking on the treadmill or doing something, I always try to make it functional, where they're doing some type of movement, some type of fighting. And they're like, Mark, well, I'm not trying to be a fighter. I'm like, well, you know, doing a Jane Fonda running man is not going to help you in a real situation. But this is something where you could burn fat and learn to protect yourself at the same time. So guys, if you're out there training and you're working out and you're getting into the gym, make sure you incorporate something that's actually functional, that's gonna help you outside of the gym. That'll keep you in the gym because you're getting a benefit in both places. You know, so I just wanted to harp on that. But I wanted to talk about health and wellness more as a revolutionary tool, because, you know, for me, it's the overlooked component, you know, because you got the kids like me, grew up in Brooklyn, you know, picking out roaches out the cereal, Word. Eating the cereal anyway. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then you're going to school, and probably the healthiest I think I got was maybe the school lunch, which was terrible at Word. That time. But that was probably the healthiest meal. And then you're trying to absorb old dated books as your blood sugar's dropping. So it's just a recipe for... And then you find these kids now having all kinds of behavioral issues. They got to get on medication because they didn't have certain nutrients when their hormones were forming. You know, so it's such a bigger problem than what people look at it. You know, like water has over 100 chemicals in it, tap water. The average fetus is born with over 100 chemicals, including Viagra and Prozac every day. You know what I mean? So these type of things, and of That's course, it's more detrimental in the hood because, you know, we're exposed to more toxins. So, you know, it's really, I think we really have to make it much more of a, like, this is something that we need to do, not optional anymore, especially with the pandemic and all of that stuff. And I just want you to expound on that.
Well, when the COVID crisis hit, we were quarantined. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you experienced it too. We are people who like to be moving, like we like action.
Right.
Like serving people and doing our thing. So me, in the house during COVID, I was going stir crazy. And then two things happened. One, we realized that the most impacted people were Black people, right? So we got active on the activism tip by petitioning the governor, holding press conferences to get resources into the South Bronx and into our communities. And then on a secondary note, we went out, we started raising money, we created something called the People's Food Program, and we started feeding 250 people a day. What we did was, I'm big on organizing, right? So we bought voting information from the Board of Elections, right? And we just started cold calling. A lot of our volunteers didn't want to go outside and be outside, so we had them calling people and saying, hey, do you need anything? Do you need food? And we would deliver 250. We go to BJ's or Costco in the morning. We buy 80% plant-based food, right? Wow. So I think the only meat in there was like tuna You know what I mean? And chicken when people donated it to us. But we buy enough groceries for the average person, you know, people from where we from the slums who know how to stretch some food out,
right,
that'll last
right.
them 2 days, right? So we started giving people, they needed food, but we were bringing them healthy food. And that became our routine during COVID. And then, you know, about 3 months into that, that's when George Floyd happened and everything like that.
And I saw you on Instagram doing that. And at the same time, I don't know if you recall, I was teaching free for the whole lockdown for
right
people
on.
Who wanted to
right
stay
on.
In shape. Because, you know, it was the pre-existing conditions that make us more susceptible to the effects of COVID. So
absolutely.
Again, we have to start looking at our wellness differently. It can't be like an optional thing because more and more strains are coming out. People are anti-vaccination. Mm-hmm. You can't be anti-vaccination and anti-vitamin and anti-exercise. You can't. You cannot,
that's,
people. I'm trying to tell you, like, you're not living in
you're
reality.
So right.
Then you're not acknowledging anything about what's going on. So if you're anti-vax, you better have your body fat levels below levels that's going to impact your immune system. That would be my motion, my train of thought of thinking if I was not taking the vaccine, or even if I was vaccinated, because people are still getting infected. So it doesn't. It really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. You got to cut the odds, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I remember you told me that because you know I don't care if people take the vax or if they don't. My concern is I hated these mandates, and you were like, "Hey, Hulk, okay, if you're gonna be against these mandates, and there's people looking at you for information, then you got to tell them what's real." And you gave me a list of things they could do, vitamins, and I shared that in my social media. And I think that's really crucial. We can't function without mindfulness, without help. You look at people who meditate, they're more productive. There's a lot of pain and trauma that comes along with being poor. So people need to meditate. When we start talking about foods and the poison that we're putting in our body, all these fast foods, that increases our anxiety, right? And we don't even realize it. So we're walking around like ticking time bombs, looking for fights. There was a study at a prison where they introduced a healthy diet in the prison, violence dropped. Then they introduced it in that same prison, vitamins, violence dropped even more. So our disposition, our abilities to function in this world have a lot to do with what we're ingesting.
Your cognitive functions, your ability to reason, your emotional state is so nutrition-based, people don't even understand. They think it's because they're having a bad day or they zonk out in the middle of the afternoon. No, that's nutritional deficit. Or they're hungry. Damn, why am I hungry? Why after I just ate? Because the shit you ate didn't have any nutrients. So your body's still hungry. So you end up becoming obese or overweight, not because you're greedy, but because you're just not eating healthy. You know, once you eat healthy and you feed your body the nutrients it needs, guess what? You don't get hungry. People don't believe it. But when I put people on a program, they go, wow, I'm not as hungry as I used to be. I said, because you're feeding your body nutrients. So it's a whole, and food, big part of the self-medication process in the Black community, you know, because it's the only thing legal that you could do that no one says anything to you. But you still get the same type of drug release from eating some, you know, trust me, I grew up with a 45-inch waist. I don't know if you knew that. That's how I got into fitness.
Get
I started out,
out
yeah, man. I started out with a 45-inch waist and big man titties, big ones.
Well, get out of here,
and
bro.
Running home from school in Brooklyn, running home from Prospect Heights. And I was like, damn, I ain't going to survive. And I ran past a recruiting station. And I said, you know what? Maybe I could get in shape if I joined the military. So I took the test and I scored high. And I was like, well, I'm too fat for the Marines. There's no way. I'm too fat for the Army. There's no way.
Yeah.
But I could go maybe Navy or Air Force. And the Navy guy said, yo, son, they got McDonald's on the aircraft carrier. And I was 17 years
that.
Old. That's what he told. And I swear to God, I signed. I said, word. And the Air Force guy was like, I was like, fuck you, man. I'm going straight. And just sign up.
Yeah.
I had to get my
Word
mother
up.
To sign permission because I was 17. And that's how I got in shape. And that was 1988.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was the type of kid, I would buy now-laters and put them on the radiator and heat them up and make now-later sandwiches.
Yeah, make them nice and warm.
I was that type of hood kid. But, you know, I remember not being able to focus going to school, crashing in the afternoon. And then I was getting teased because I was overweight. Like, you know, it wasn't any fun. And, you know, I really think it's so important. And then your self-esteem gets messed up. You want to lash out at others. You become abusive to other people. And it just turns into a whole cycle of behavior that could be avoided if you just was focused on your nutrition and health and exercise, you know?
That's true. Yeah, I am my dad died on 7th heart attack, right? One of the reasons why I think I had my growth spurt was he had his first 2 heart attacks, and then they changed everything in the house. We started eating clean. You know, they started pulling all the skin off the chicken. There was salad, you know, we weren't sugary cereals anymore. Like, my father became a complete and total health nut.
How big is your dad?
Maybe 9 or 10 at that time. My dad was 6 feet tall, and I think he was around 300 pounds.
So he was a big dude, too.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, he was big, but solid. Mm-hmm. Like, he carried it like a offensive lineman. You know what I mean? Like the kind of big that you don't want to mess with. You know, you see some people, they big and they look kind of soft and roly-poly. My father was big and solid and mean. You know what I'm saying?
How about your
mom? It was funny because...
Will you get your size genetics from your mother, your mom or your dad?
My father. My father was about 6 feet tall. All of my great uncles on his side are about 6'2", 6'3". And mother's short. My mother's like 5 feet tall. My man and her family are between 6'2" and 6'5". So they're, except for one little runty cousin who I can't stand. I'm kind of happy he's really short. But actually, he's the most lethal dude in our family, man. He he was Marine Corps, and come on, man. He was Marine Corps. He did wrestling in the high school. And he's been doing jiu-jitsu for as far back as I can remember. I remember going down to see him. I was on spring break in college. And he would take me with him to train. And I'm like, bro, you down here rolling on this mat for 3 hours. South Beach is right there.
Wow.
I'm not hanging out with you here when life is happening in South Beach, right? But part of me wishes that, you know, I would have got that training in from back then.
Yeah, but not too late. But let me ask you, what do you think, where do you see wellness or fitness or exercise integrating into your movement? Like, how do you see
that's
those?
Perfect. We're starting something called Black Opportunities. It's blackopts.com, if you want to check out the website. And we're kind of veering away from Black Lives Matter and creating something else. It's 100% based on community empowerment. So we're feeding people 3 times a week. We're holding workshops to teach people how to eat well, how to prepare their own food. Every activity, we're going to be teaching, holding classes several times a week for kids and adults. Anything that you come in and do, you have to meditate before you do it, right?
Right.
Before you try to fight this revolution or to build up the people, you have to take their health into account first, right? You need healthy soldiers. I'm not talking about overthrowing government, but what I'm talking about is being strong Black ecosystems where Black people do business with each other. Black people own their own schools and they teach their own children. I'm talking about accountability in our community. And your health has to be at the center of that, your health, your spirituality. You know, I'm a Christian, but we embrace all faith, but that has to be at the center of it. So we are feeding people. We just gave away a few hundred turkeys. We gave away, you know, things for Christmas, food vouchers, $8,000 in food vouchers. People need food where we're from. People who feed them are the people they listen to, and that's usually politicians, right? So here we are giving out food, healthy food, and saying we don't want you to do anything but learn how to become better, a better, more unified people. So it with Black opportunities, you know, our health is at the center of it, which is, you know, we kicked off officially about 2 months ago. And since then, I've dropped 15 pounds. Like, you know, I can't run around preaching. Right on. I can't run around.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. That's what's up.
Preaching it and not embody it myself. You know what
I mean? Hey, good for you, bro. Good for you. So how you feeling? You dropped 15.
Man, my back stopped hurting. I'm sorry. I'm going to grab some coffee. Thank you, baby. My back, bro. Police beat me up a few years ago, and they did some real damage to my back. And at my heaviest, my heaviest was 354, right?
Right.
Once I started getting up there, my back was so sore. When I got up, it would lock. Like in the morning, I couldn't even stand straight up. But my back feels good. I was with my fiance yesterday, and she was like, "Let me reach up and get that for you because you're back." And I'm like, "Nah, babe, my back feels great. You know what I mean?" It's a little better on my knees. I feel more energetic. I feel more productive. My thoughts are clear and concise. So it's coming along. I got a long way to go, but it feels good.
But that's good. You're making progress. Congrats on the 15, man. And, you know, that's always gets me. You know, I've been training people for like 30 years now. And that's what keeps me hooked on training is your facial expression when you talked about the change in your body. You know, to be a part of that with somebody. You know what I'm saying? It's like, damn, man, you really helped that person. You know what I mean? So that's why I always, you know what I mean? It's always so good to be a trainer. I've never got tired. I've been doing this for so long. But, you know, to see that person, because sometimes you change people's lives, man. It's awesome.
It's service, bro. Feel when you help people is the way I feel when I'm giving out food. And when I'm getting justice for somebody, it's all service, bro. Yeah, like if we're not serving our humanity, not just Black people, we're not serving humanity, then what the fuck are we doing on this planet?
It's true. So with that being said, I want to talk about opportunities in the wellness field. You know, wellness now is the biggest field. And unfortunately, because of us being so unhealthy in the United States, not just African American, but the United States is the most obese country in the world. You know, I think Great Britain has the second largest obesity budget following that. Fascinatingly enough, I think it's Saudi Arabia, which is crazy because it's so small, but because they have so much money, the indulgence. So it's fascinating. Stats on that. Yeah. The opulence causes the indulgence and they just start going crazy. So for such a small country to have such a high obesity level, that's quite alarming. And they're going to have to deal with that later on, you know, generations, repercussions, high blood pressure and whatnot. But talking about the wellness industry, because of that's driving it. And if people are looking for an occupation, I think after the pandemic, people are trying to get jobs that are rewarding, like doing something that you're doing something that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to encourage people to get involved in the wellness industry and make that a business, because a lot of times you can use that as a business to fuel your activism or your charity. So, you know, guys, look for jobs that are helping people. You know what I mean? Instead of working for Big Pharma, you know, work for a startup that's trying to find a cure for something. This way you feel better about your job and the karma attracts you more money because you're actually doing something positive. Yeah,
absolutely. What I'm seeing a lot more of is people, you know, you got more Black vegans than I've ever seen before in my life. Like, you know what I'm saying? A lot of Black folk, and you know, they're talking about Dr. Sebi and the alkaline diet. You have a lot of folks who are on the sea moss. And I know you had some vitamins out there, some supplements out there. There are a lot of people who are doing that, which is super dope. I think one of the benefits of Donald Trump, yes, I said there were benefits of Donald Trump.
That's the first.
Was he made the Black people more conscious, right?
He did. He did.
More conscious and more community oriented. So now you have a lot more Black people who are like, you know, I made it, but here's how I made it. I'm trying to show you, be it real estate, be it crypto and tech, like health and wellness. There are a lot of Black folks out here trying to, you know, help each other. My lady's over here. She just put chlorophyll in her water, and
she's on it. Yeah. Tell the queen I said peace.
I don't know. Oh, Mark said peace. Right on. She said, "Hey, oh, hey." But like, yeah, I ain't ready to make that jump. But you know, she got me on the on the supplements. So we doing the shakes in the morning. You know what I mean? She plays a good role. I think like for a lot of brothers, you know, having a strong woman or a strong partner and building, you know, that team, that camaraderie, and really going after life through that outlet. Look, it helped financially, it helped from a health perspective, it helped in so many different ways. I'd love to see a strong push of brothers getting serious about building their families and building up their bodies. Like these are the things we have to do, Mark. I can't march forever, right?
Right.
Like I was writing now, you know, I was journaling and I was like, well, what do you want to do for the people? And for me, it's giving them empowerment tools, right? That's what lasts. You know, we could change some laws, we could get some cops held accountable. But if we start teaching people how to provide for future generations,
right,
how to eat right, making workouts, family walks, or whatever you want to do, making that part of your regimen. These are things that get passed down, you know, throughout generations. Yeah. So we got serious responsibility.
We got to definitely change the habits, man. You know, we taking vacations. We don't even see the place we vacation at. We at the resort eating and drinking and sitting by the pool. And they said, yeah, I went to Mexico. Did you really go to Mexico?
Yeah, or did you go to Nobu? Did you go to Cabo?
We gotta just start getting active, even in the vacations. You know, there's things like adventure vacations. You know, I'm a big motorcyclist. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to do things that give me some type of activity without being in the gym, going hiking, you know, especially out here in California. You gotta take advantage of hitting some of these hills,
I love it, Palm Springs,
and you know, Griffin Park and all of that stuff. The environment's conducive. Because then you're able to give that much more back. And I think that concept of grinding 24 hours until you die, like how we grew up, you know, that was what it was. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, team no sleep.
Yeah.
It caused so many problems with people. Now, during the pandemic, people got a little break. They're like, I don't want to go back to work now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting. They want to find jobs that give them fulfillment. You know, it's a whole movement going on right now.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, she took me hiking up here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was like, first time I went up that mountain, I was like, God, dog. Like, and the thing was, it was, you know, I'm a very competitive person. And it was like some old people were like, listen, I ain't trying to let them pass me. I don't care. I ain't stopping because they are not passing me. And it was kicking my mind. And the bottom line was, these old people were in better shape than me. And I can't go out like that. Like, I used to, you know, I used to be in shape. I used to be good. And I think what last year really, I was just talking, my boy is an entertainment attorney, Josh Edwards. Mm-hmm. He lives, you know, out here in LA. And he hired a trainer. He's getting right.
Right, right.
And I was like, last year showed me, like, the rest of my life could be misery if I don't get my life back right. You know, when I went shooting and training in Texas, my knee was swollen for 2 months. You know, my back was hurting. It was hard. Like, I could get out of bed, but, you know, it was painful. Don't get me wrong. When it was like action, my, you know, your body jumps in. It's, I don't know if it's muscle memory or what, but when it's up, then your body is going to go.
Right.
That's true. But I don't want to be in pain the rest of my life, bro. Like, I want to be here long so I can fulfill my purpose. And part of that is paying attention and taking care of my body.
Yeah. It's so important for everybody because you want to get its longevity. You know what I mean? The longer you're functioning at optimal, it increases your chances for success.
Right.
So if you got 20 years... functioning and optimally pushing, you can get that much more money or be that much more successful as opposed to 5, then getting a knee replacement or getting a hip replacement or going in for something else or getting on some type of medication. So yes, it's definitely a good investment. Now, I've got a question for you. I've seen you in a lot of different interviews, but I always see that,
okay.
that the Fox. I always see the Fox one. The Fox one is so ill. But what I wanted to ask you, I didn't want to ask you about that because I just saw it the other day on some random. It came up, so it was just in my mind. Like, What do you want to say? Like, how are you misunderstood? Or what would you like to say to people that they don't know about you? You would like them to know or get a feel from you, you know, just like in a non-competitive environment interview, like, you know, it's not hostile. What would you like people to know about you?
I'm gonna keep it real. Like, I wasn't a punk growing up, but I was a happy kid who loved everybody. Like, right. I would just give. I literally give people the shirt off my back, right? And it was like, growing up in the South Bronx, you become prey if you too nice, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
the
yeah.
world kind of like made me tougher. Like, made me say, okay, this is the line. If that line is crossed, then I have to react in a particular way. You know, you grew up in Brooklyn, you know what time it is.
Right.
And so for me, it's always been love. Like, when I get out there and I'm fighting for people and they're being bullied. Perfect example. New Year's morning, I got a call, 6 o'clock in the morning. Brother flipping out, screaming, they gonna kill me. Police at my door, I got my family in here. I don't know what to do. And turns out, you'll love this, you're a bike guy. He had his new Harley Davidson outside. And some random dude is sitting on his bike. He don't know if he's trying to steal it or what. So this is real New York.
That's a big violation. You can't sit on somebody's bike. You know, if you're a biker, that's a big violation. Big violation.
Exactly. So he runs downstairs and the guy gets off and runs. And, you know, he gets in his car, but his transmission blows and he can't leave. But the cops are there for something else. And he tells the cops, like, yo, this dude violated my property, right? And the cop was like, well, he didn't take it. He was like, listen, if I go and sit in a car, it's an attempted theft. You'll arrest me. Treat me the same with my bike, right? Mm-hmm. So the cops ignored him. He made a big fuss. He called internal affairs. And the next morning, right before he called me, they was at his door. Like, you messing with us? So we're going to make your life hard. And I gave him some counseling. I gave him some advice. I pointed him to a good free legal defense lawyers in the Bronx. And they worked it out. Turned out he had warrants. You know what I mean? For like driving without a license. Nothing
major. Nothing crazy.
But because he made a fuss, they were coming to take him for those warrants. Brother was bipolar. So if he would have flipped out, they would have filled him up with lead. So with that, right? The cops were using the law to bully him because they didn't want to do their jobs and he called it on them. But I had the know-how and the abilities to protect him. You know what I mean? So this is where my aggression comes from, right? And it's protection of my people. So if you have some white supremacists or white supremacists were down in Charlottesville, you remember the big riots, and they're making all this noise and they're threatening activists. We went out there and wound up fighting with the activists. They were attacking, most of the activists ran, we stood there and held the line. You know what I'm saying? I'm more likely to get hopped up and angry about other people than I am myself.
Right.
You know, I'm kind of passive when it comes to me. I let things slide, it's not that big a deal. But when you're dealing with the people and you have this bureaucracy bullying them, then I'm on 10 all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, am I a violent person? No. But I believe that you should defend yourself, right? Do I believe that America is a violent country? Yes. So do I understand that America respects tough talk? Yes. So that's why I meet them exactly at a place exactly where they are, right? Because if we hold out here holding hands and singing and say, no matter how much you murder us, nothing is going to happen, that's what they want. The last thing they want is black people standing up saying, if you hit us, we're going to hit you back.
Right.
So they make me a villain. You know what I'm saying? They make me a villain. But at the end of the day, I'd much rather be feeding people and teaching people than marching any day of the week. right? This is a labor of love. Like, I love my family. I love my lady. Like, I love my kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a labor of love. But I'll be damned if I'm going to sit back and do nothing. And in 60 years, people will be saying the same thing that folks were saying 60 years ago. Right. If you look at the Panthers, you know, I'm a follower of Malcolm X more so than Dr. King. If you look at those people, they were saying the same things 60 years ago.
Yeah.
That we're saying now. So it's up to us to break this cycle. And if I got to be a villain to do that, if I, you know, I got to be perceived as a black radical revolutionary to do that, then so be it. Because you know why? When I walk in the Bronx, I get saluted, right? And I'm not just talking about by young activists. I'm talking about 60, 70, 80-year-old people in our
community. Well, the old activists, because they've been through it, you know?
Yeah. You know
they know what it is. Yeah, they know what it is. So they definitely have
exactly. Long as the people love me, you know, politicians, like, you know, these foundations, they like, oh, that nigga, that brother crazy. We ain't giving him nothing. Right. You know what I mean? Like people don't give us funding, things like that. No, we out, because what we do is real. What we do is really disruptive. If you have this system of white supremacy, it's actually going to fund you if you found an effective way to dismantle it.
Yeah.
There's no way in the world.
There's no way in the world. You're absolutely right. Hey, man. Thank you so much for coming on, bro. It's been a pleasure. Before we wrap up, I just want to give you the final word. Give these people something about why health and wellness is important and why you should factor it into your life.
Man, listen. when we start talking about health and wellness in our communities, you have to understand that we have so much going against us. We cannot help this process, right? We cannot help this process by poisoning ourselves. There are companies out there that are mixing foods putting chemicals in foods to make you addictive. Most of us are addicted to sugar. Like, there are things that we're putting in our bodies that's killing us. We need to be healthy so that we can overcome, right? Like when you start talking, you know, we shall overcome. We have to be liberated. At the center of that is our faith in God, our faith in whatever you may believe in, and our health. So it's time we start taking our health very seriously and doing it for the community. Before any of y'all want to go out and march and hold up a Black Lives Matter sign, I say you get together with your friends and you go and buy some fruits and vegetables and go into the communities and give that to people and tell them why they should be eating healthy, and then tell them about revolution and racism. But marching ain't it. March your ass to the supermarket, get some greens and some good food, and then march to the ghetto and give it to the people and give them food and give them knowledge. And this is coming from a place of love. Word.
Hey, thank you, my man. Hey, Hawk Newsom, I appreciate you, bro. Thanks for coming on. We want to get you back, man. And we got to get a workout in since you're in LA.
Let's do it.
We got to get one in. Maximum respect.
Man, listen, nah. You are the real deal. You're going to have to go easy on me, bro. You crazy.
Instagram, man. The first session is always nice to trick you to come back. So you're guaranteed a great first session.
There it is. I like that.
and the queen, you can bring the queen as well. I would love to.
Oh, she'd love
get
that.
You guys in for a session. She'd love that. Tell her to come in. It's all good, man. I'll see you in a minute.
Nah, because before we get out of here, she was talking about coming with me. I'm like, nah, babe, you're going to kill me. I ain't going to let you see me dying out there. You can come third session when I get my room done. You know what I mean? But she'd be happy to come for real.
All right. Hey, that's what's up, guys. Hey, we out. Hey, don't go anywhere. We're going to talk after this. Peace and love, guys. Take care of your body, man. Your body is the vessel that houses your spirit, guys. Peace and love. Take care. I'm going to outro it. And we are gone. One.
Cast is brought to you by WinCheck Studios. We are an all-in-one educational platform for podcasters that revolutionizes how hosts leverage content to increase engagement with listeners, downloads, and income. We come together to focus on community, collaboration, and collective impact. For more information on how you can interact directly with our hosts, access exclusive live content with offers you can't get anywhere else from our official partners, join our purpose-driven community by visiting www.winject.com. If you're ready to build a career doing what you love, then we're ready to see you there.